Good morning, everyone, and thanks a lot for getting on this call with us this morning. We are here to talk about a major new piece of work and initiative that Lumina is launching today officially, which is a national dialogue on credentials. Of course, as many of you know, this is growing out of work that Lumina has been involved in for some time around credentialing systems in the U.S., and that work has advanced to the stage where we have some, I think, quite significant announcements to make and new work to talk about. On the call today is Jamie Marisotis, Lumina's President and CEO, and Holly Zanville, who directs all of that work here at Lumina as the Strategy Director. Jamie is going to be talking about the sort of the background of this work, what brought us to this point, why the credentialing issue is important to Lumina, and talk also about the national dialogue which we are launching today, involving more than 40 national groups who have signed on to be a part of what we believe is necessary, which is a genuine national dialogue about credentials, credentialing systems, and what the nation really needs today going forward in this very important area. Holly will be talking about a number of new tools and specific pieces of work that Lumina is supporting or is managing, including a new thought piece that is being put out, released officially today, a beta credentials framework, which is called Connecting Credentials. That document will be available on a new website, which is also being launched today officially, called connectingcredentials.org, which will serve, we hope, as a common area for all of this national dialogue, sharing of information, of ideas, and of work around this critical area. I do want to mention that Larry Good, from the Corporation for a Skilled Workforce, was originally planned to be on this call due to a family emergency. He's not able to join us today, but there will be some other people on the call, who people like Tony Carnevale, perhaps some others, who we would also encourage to participate as well. So while we want all of your questions and comments to be the focus of this, we'd also invite others who may be on the call who have items to contribute or to add to the conversation, to the dialogue, to please feel free to do so. So with that, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Jamie.
Thanks very much, Dwayne. Good morning, everybody. As Dwayne said, the National Dialogue is being launched today as a collaborative effort involving more than 40 business, labor, and education groups. The objective here is to talk about the transformation of our nation's fragmented system of post-secondary credentials into one that's based on learning and centered on individuals, in other words, the students and the workers who are engaged in the learning. To kickstart this dialogue, Lumina's released that thought piece that Dwayne mentioned, the Beta Credentials Framework. The framework is essentially designed to frame the meaning of the various credentials in terms of the knowledge and skills that recipients of each credential should have. Now, Holly Zanville is going to talk in a few moments about the 40-plus groups and what the national dialogue entails, but I wanted to explain a little bit about what we mean by the challenges of the current system so it's clear why this dialogue is taking place and why the conversation that is being engaged in among these organizations is so critical. We all know how important post-secondary education is to success in America today. There's lots of pathways to obtain an education beyond high school. So increasing post-secondary attainment in some way, including degrees, certificates, and other credentials, is critical to our economic, social, and cultural well-being as a country. The different pathways that you can take, however, lead to different types of credentials that signal success in these post-secondary programs. So you've got the degrees, the certificates, the occupational licenses, the industry certifications, and other types of credentials. New types of credentials like digital badges and enhanced transcripts are also emerging. And we think there's at least two significant problems within this credentialing system. The first is it's unclear what credentials actually mean, in other words, what they represent in terms of learning. Lumina's work in the degree qualifications profile took one cut at this in the context of degrees, but I think the important question how one type of credential actually connects to another, and how this overall system of credentials actually articulates across that system. Second, there really is no system to ensure the quality of those credentials across those different systems. So in other words, we have this highly fragmented system, and it adversely impacts students, workers, employers, and our economy in general. So let me talk about the impact of these challenges and how they can be felt in a couple of different ways. The first is for the individuals, for the students or workers. Because the credentials meeting is unclear, the individuals often have a hard time of knowing what credentials they need to obtain to achieve their desired career outcome. For example, do you want to become an electrician? Do you pursue an undergraduate degree? Do you pursue an apprenticeship, an associate's degree, etc.? It's equally challenging for these individuals to translate learning obtained through one type of post-secondary program towards a credential awarded by a different program. It's equally tough, and in fact, if not more challenging, to then parlay that experience gained through work or military toward a credential. And finally, given the lack of quality assurance across these different systems, it's challenging for students to know what credentials providers are, which credentials providers actually are providing that education or training in a high-quality way. There's close to 26,000 U.S. post-secondary providers, for example, now offering certificates. And while many of them are accredited, like community colleges, that's not true across the board. And even for those institutions that are accredited, the process is designed to indicate institutions' operating capacity more than their overall quality in terms of the learning. All of this makes the pathways toward a credential and meaningful work much more difficult for the individual. Now, the other way that the impact of these challenges can be felt is by employers. The lack of clarity about the meaning of credentials and quality makes it difficult for employers to know who's qualified for jobs that they're actually trying to fill through their employment processes. This uncertainty, we think, exacerbates what's broadly discussed as the skills gap. In too many cases, rather than taking a bet on hiring an employee who might not be qualified, organizations often leave positions unfilled. A survey by Inc. Magazine, the Inc. 5000, says that 76% of the CEOs of companies in that Inc. 5000 say that finding qualified people is a major concern, and only 11% of business leaders said they considered college graduates to be prepared for the workforce, while 96% of college and university chief academic officers did. That's based on work that has been done by both Lumina and Gallup and inside higher education. If we don't address this challenge, we'll have a hard time meeting the needs of the 21st century workforce, making it more difficult for those who want to advance their careers to do so, and making it harder for companies to find the talent that they need. I want to be clear here that Lumina Foundation is just one partner committed to advancing the important dialogue around these issues, and I'm going to turn it now over to Holly to explain a little bit about what we're doing to actually advance this discussion with those 40-plus partners. Holly?
Thanks, and good morning, everyone. One of the issues that we encountered when we have started to look into the problems that we think are created by the credentialing system in the U.S. is that there are multiple providers. There are the colleges and universities, of course, that are providing important credentials, but there are also industries, industry-awarded certifications, and there are increasingly larger numbers of third-party organizations that are stepping up to provide credentials to students, and this is just creating tremendous confusion. When we've talked with folks, as we had, you know, doing our homework around this issue, there's an emerging vision around what an improved system would look like. We know that we are going to continue to live in a very decentralized system, and that's actually quite a strength of the United States, but it also is one of the problems. So a vision is emerging about what would a reshaped American credentialing system really look like. And we've got it down, although there are probably 20 things on the list, we have it down to a shorter number that we want to share with you. First, we think that we should have a system in which credentialing would be easily understandable for students and employers. We also think that it needs to include credentials that are defined based on what students know and actually can do. We think that the system has to assure quality so that users can rely on the value of their credentials. The system has to have a way to provide continually updated and validated information so that we know that credentials are really staying relevant to employer needs. We need a system in which credentialing is interconnected, as Jamie already mentioned, so that all students can be able to see several pathways to increase career and economic mobility. Users also have to be able to combine their credentials to fit their needs and inform their education and career planning, including their job transitions. The way we talk about it here a lot is we need a lot of different on and off ramps. Everyone is not going to travel on our interstate highway system of credentialing in the same way. And the last on our list is that we need to be able to enable comparisons so that stakeholders can compare the value of various credentials and determine which best fits their needs. So we do think that there is an emerging vision for what a credentialing system would look like in the U.S., but we don't have a lot of the solutions yet, and we don't think that Lumina or any one organization is really in a position to develop the solutions anyway, and that's why we have been extending our conversations with a number of other organizations to come together to call for a national dialogue, because we think the time is right to have this dialogue. And when we were looking for organizations to partner with, of course, we have wonderful networks within many colleges and universities around the United States, but we were really looking for who are the organizations that are working in the credentialing space, that are issuing reports, that are convening meetings, that are talking about this problem. And there is a growing literature of folks that are in the credentialing space, so we're not the first to come to this problem, obviously. We have reached out over the last year and a half to a number of these organizations, and now we have 48 organizations who officially are part of this growing group of folks that are calling for a national dialogue. And if you go to the new website, I'll give you the address again in a moment, you will see a number of different kinds of organizations. There's things ranging, groups ranging from the AARP Foundation to AFL-CIO to several of the community college membership organizations, several of the higher education-oriented organizations, labor, employer groups like the Business Roundtable, the research arm of ANSI, the American National Standards Institute, several other research entities or think tanks. So we were aiming, because we know this problem is so diverse and affects so many of the different sectors, we really have been aiming to co-sponsor with a number of diverse stakeholders. As we had the conversations with the co-sponsoring groups, they basically said, well, how could they be helpful? How are we going to come together? What does it mean to have a national dialogue? And what it means to have a national dialogue is really coming down to a series of smaller meetings, regional, local, meetings with memberships within these various organizations that are going to be kicking off over the next several months. We are also calling for a national summit that will be held in October to talk about what we've learned from a lot of the smaller meetings and begin to shape an action plan for addressing next steps around solution building. Because just having a conversation, as great as it is to talk about the problem, we all need to come up with some solutions, and this is not going to be a short fix. This is going to be many, many years of many, many different stakeholders taking different pieces of the pie. At Lumina, we've talked about, well, what would our space be? And because of that, we have a sense of what we might do, and we are then waiting to see what other groups step up to do. But in terms of what we're doing, number one, we did agree that we could help groups to come forward and call for the national dialogue. So that's what we're doing as we speak. We have been working with the Corporation for a Skilled Workforce and CLASS to build the new website, which we hope that if you haven't seen it, you will see it very soon, which is at www.connectingcredentials.org. And essentially, this is the parking lot. This is where the National Dialogue will sit for at least the short term, that will contain information about the co-sponsoring organizations, how folks can become involved in all these different conversations that I've just mentioned. There are a number of resources that are available, a lot of the reports, a lot of the initiatives that are underway by various groups, and we'll continue to provide more information here. And we think that, that having one place where folks can go to continue the dialogue as it shapes up is going to be important. And I would just add that the website is being improved. It will be improved really over the next couple of months. There's a video, a short film that we're actually producing that is featuring three students who are impacted by the credentialing conundrums between us, and it also includes several thought leaders on this issue, and that will be, we believe, posted at the website probably in another 3 weeks or so. So, and one reason why we're doing that is we have to find different communication tools to explain what the problem is and how folks can be involved. So there is a document you'll see at the website, which we call Making the Case, which describes some of the problems that Jamie just mentioned. There is going to be the video, which tries to bring it to life for people who learn better and understand things better in that way. We're actually working on a cartoon on the system, which describes students sitting around a poker table who are holding different cards, and one says something like a license plus a digital badge, and another is holding one called industry certifications, and another one has a certificate, and another one has a degree, and it basically says, the caption says, who has the best hand is hard to tell. We do think this is a serious issue, that students are in this poker game of life and they don't quite know how they're supposed to proceed. So we think that the conversations are going to inform these groups as they go forward. We've mentioned now the Beta Credentials Framework, the Connecting Credentials new document that we're putting out there as a tool. We don't think that this is going to replace all the other different frameworks that are in place around the U.S. Those are very important. I think most of us know that industry sectors have their own frameworks that speak to the kinds of knowledge and skills people need in order to move through sectors such as energy and manufacturing and aerospace, et cetera. So right now there are frameworks for many of these industries, and many of the industries are developing frameworks. There is an employability skills framework that has recently been developed by a national group of the industry sectors. There's the degree qualifications profile that Jamie mentioned that speaks to what are the reference points for degrees, at the associate, bachelor, and master's degrees. And we think that these frameworks are all very important. Well, what they lack is an ability to talk to one another, and that's the connecting piece. So the new framework that we put out there is essentially an idea we put on paper, and that is, can we put together for the U.S. some sort of a translation platform that would enable all these different frameworks to develop some common language and be able to share information so that we could pull together going forward something like a credential registry that would contain information about the credentials in the U.S. And we can't do a registry until we have common language. So these tools are all, we think, going to put us on this a growing interstate highway of credentialing that would make sense to students, to employers, to government, who play a big role, particularly on the regulatory side, of many types of credentials. And so that's what this new tool of a connecting credentials framework represents. And after today, we're going to be working with a number of groups to just explore this and see, can they use their framework and then hook it to this other and see whether or not the idea of a translation approach makes sense, as many other countries have already done some experimentation with. So I've mentioned that we have the new website, and that's where these documents will reside for the time being. And I think I'll hand it back to Duane now.
Okay. Thank you, Holly. We're going to open it up now for questions. I open to assume that you have questions or comments that you'd like to make, and we'd like to hear them. Before doing so, I'm going to anticipate, however, there may be one question, which is, why in the world would Lumina want to take this on? This is obviously a very complex area. It involves us with a lot of new players, new to us at least, a whole new set of actors, of systems, the interrelationships of which are incredibly complex. Why in the world would we feel that it was necessary for us to go in this direction? And the answer to that is very simple. It goes back to Lumina's goal 2025, which of course is that 60% of Americans hold high quality degrees, certificates, and other credentials by 2025. It all grows out of that goal and our need to understand, as Jamie said, what all of these credentials mean in terms of learning, because that's the only definition of quality that makes sense here, is what the individual who holds these credentials actually knows and can do, and how that is recognized by the other actor, the other players like employers, who need to understand that as well. We realized early on that we had to go in this direction. We needed to understand these credentialing systems. We are, frankly, very gratified at the response we've received so far to the call for a national dialogue. We believe that both the higher education actors in this environment, institutions, associations, governments, et cetera, as well as the employer groups, the groups that deal with other kinds of education and training, all understand the need to connect these systems. And the response to this call for a genuine national dialogue about this to figure out what can be done and what should be done is I think, what we've seen, and we're very, very gratified by that and very encouraged by that. So with that, I'm going to turn it back to our operator, Greg, who I think has some instructions for how to open the lines and get your questions out. Greg?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. You will hear a tone indicating you have been placed in queue. You may remove yourself from queue at any time by pressing the pound key. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star one. One moment, please. Your first question comes from the line of Paul Fain from Inside Higher Education. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having me on here. I know that the process is just beginning, but I wondered if you could talk a little bit about what role, if any, there might be for the accreditors or state agencies or the feds in this dialogue.
So, the tent is big here. As Holly mentioned, this system for communicating about and connecting all of the diverse credentials that exist is going to have to entail a wide variety of partners, and that's going to include organizations that in the higher ed sector, like accreditors, are a part of that. So certainly in the work that follows here in terms of the conversations that we have, the National Credentialing Summit and the kinds of work that we'll be doing going into next year and beyond, will engage those actors, Paul. I think from our vantage point, it's important for us to make clear here that the ecosystem of credentials touches many different societal actors. And as Duane said, and I would underscore this point, this is complex terrain. And one of the reasons that we wanted to provide some leadership here in partnership with these 48 other organizations is that there is a growing cacophony of voices that we think need some clarity. And so it's going to have to include those kind of entities in order to be able to get more of that focus, that communication, that connection that Holly mentioned.
And if I could add, one of the 48 is actually the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools Commission on Colleges, because we know how important accreditation is, and they have more than 5 million students actually in their regional accrediting association. And we visited actually with SACS last week to give them an update on this work around credentialing, and we're in the process of scheduling meetings with each of the regional accrediting associations and the specialized and professional accrediting associations over the summer because we know that the credentialing issues are so important to them. And at the meeting in the Southern group last week, we heard a lot about the confusion that students and the institutions are asking about badging, and what about all these other credentials, and what are they going to do about more and more certificates. And although the community colleges understand this, the four-year institutions probably understand it less. And I would also add that Jamie, Duane, and I have been talking with a number of the federal agency folks to give them a heads up about this work over the last several weeks, particularly the Department of Labor, the Department of Education, because, again, the credential issues are so related to a lot of the agency interests.
Your next question comes from the line of Goldie Blumenstick from Chronicle of Higher Education. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks, guys. Two questions. Is there this would be the starting point. Is there an end point for this effort, or do you expect to start this thing and have it be kind of a continuing organization as new kinds of credentials and organizations evolve? That's one of two. And the second question is, I haven't seen the list, but are you also engaging with the APSTU and for-profit colleges, those organizations that are talking to a lot of issuance of certificates and other, obviously, these kinds of credentials?
Let me take the endpoint question, and then Holly can answer the second one. In a way, the point of the dialogue is to get to a point where there is greater clarity, where there is more connection across these diverse credentials. But to be candid, Goldie, there's no specific point in time where we think we will be done with this work. So from our vantage point, I think we'll be assessing the work over the course of several years, deciding what twists and turns it might take, where we could add value as one organization. I want to underscore that we are an organizing partner for this work, but it really is a collaborative effort. We have another foundation, the Joyce Foundation, in the mix. We do have organizations like the ones that you're talking about, so it's a pretty big tent, and that tent is probably going to get bigger. I think what the endpoint is not something that we've predetermined right now. Holly can probably tell you a little bit more about the other organizations.
Well, I would speak to the tent getting bigger part of the question, and that is we've had organizations literally in the last 10 days contacting us saying they've heard about this. Could they become a co-sponsor? And so we had viewed this all along as an organic growing process. We're not sure how it's going to grow. We know it's going to be more and more of an ecosystem approach to this work. And so we talk with groups that come to us, and then we're adding them to the list. At some point, we don't know if there's going to be a number beyond which we can't accommodate that. But right now, we're sort of in the open mode. If folks are generally concerned about credentialing and they bring their resources to the table, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about their thinking and their membership groups who want to talk about this and come up with solutions. We're adding them to the list. So if you saw the list of our initial co-sponsors 2 weeks ago, it wouldn't be 48, but we're in this process of adding them. So probably the next time we all speak, we'll be well into the 50s or larger.
And to the specific question, I haven't seen the list, so is APSCU and are there for-profit colleges in the mix?
APSCU is on that. We don't have very many individual colleges. We kind of stayed away from individual institutions, so we were looking for membership organizations where they could be convening meetings to talk with their members. So you'll see the American Association of Community Colleges, the American Association of State Colleges and Universities, American College of Education, AFT, there's Association of American College and Universities, so there's, and the private sector groups. So there are a lot of the membership organizations because we're envisioning going big with the communications to membership groups. And down the road, we'll have to decide how do we handle individual institutions.
But you said APSCU was on that list? Sorry.
Yeah, so, with too many acronyms, APSCU and APSCU, both are on the list, Goldie.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I'll come up with a few more acronyms before the day's over.
If there are any additional questions, please press star then one. And at this time, there are no further. You have a follow-up from Paul Fain. Please go ahead. Paul, your line is open. Please go ahead.
Sorry about that. I was muted there. Again, recognizing this is early, can you talk a little bit about what specifically the framework might do to connect credentials? I mean, what does that mean? Would it be, you know, having common terms, but beyond that, how would you link up an industry certification and an AA?
The framework that we're putting out there was really designed and informed by frameworks that are in place and working in many other countries. And although, because something works in another country doesn't necessarily mean it will work in the United States, we did feel that a lot of those have been in place for some years and that we could learn from them as they think about their own credentialing challenges. So countries like Australia, Germany, Ontario, Canada, and Wales have similar frameworks where their credentials are divided into sort of 8 levels of competencies and a description of the credentials. And we think that having a way to describe your credential and what's expected of the credential is going to be very important for developing this sort of the common language approach, this translation approach. And the next step is for folks to take their credentials, and we've done some of this since last summer, about 40 different kind of credentials at different levels, some bachelor's level, some master's level, certificates of different levels, have actually been experimenting with the earlier drafts of this to see whether or not this could work. And the preliminary outcomes of that work is that it could work and it could be helpful, and we could begin to drive credentials through this translation platform. They could come out the other end, and then we could probably move toward this concept of a registry which describes credentials not only by the competence and the learning outcomes, but also by who owns them, who accredits them, what's the return on investment, what does it cost to get them, which we think we probably need in the U.S., although it's going to take a long time to get there. So that's a little more about the framework. I'm hesitant to get too much into the weeds.
Let me mention, just to give you the visual, Paul, if you haven't seen the document yet. So these frameworks and the beta that we produced follows the same sort of logic. It's a chart where on the left side you've got a description of each of the eight levels, and then across the top you've essentially got the description of both knowledge and skills associated with each level within the framework. And so knowledge obviously is what the individual knows, understands, and can demonstrate. And skills is things like specialized skills, personal skills, social skills, the kinds of things that you can do in applying the knowledge and completing the tasks and solving problems associated on the knowledge side. So that's the basic idea here. It is literally a framework, and it describes in proactive terms what that knowledge should be, what those skills are in very specific ways.
This is Duane. So I think one way to think about this is to think about the various systems that need to be developed in order to connect credentials. And so, for example, you mentioned, Paul, the idea of a common language. Well, so we know there are lots of existing frameworks. Higher education has its frameworks that it uses for designing programs of study. Various education training providers have frameworks to define skill requirements, competencies, etc. Credentialing systems, providers, and there are some independent from education providers, as we know, they have their own frameworks that they use for defining what goes into those certifications, for example. And, of course, employers, the enormous player here, they have their own frameworks that they use to define the skill requirements, skill and knowledge requirements for their jobs. Now, if you have common language, you have the potential to connect all those things up. And when you can connect them up, you can think about, sort of imagine all kinds of new systems that could emerge that would help individuals have a better sense about how their education is going to lead to a particular kind of job, to help employers design systems to find the people that they're looking for with certain sets of skills and knowledge. So that, that common language is really important here. And it's not that the credentials framework itself is what, everybody's looking at and using, if you will, but it is all of the systems then that connect up at the level of employers, students, education providers, faculty, you name it, all sort of using a common language to describe the skills and knowledge that go into all of these different kinds of credentials. So that's a huge area, and you could imagine a lot of different actors and players involved in developing new approaches to all of these questions if they had the benefit of a common framework that they could use, a meta framework, if you will, that connects up all of the language of all of these different frameworks. I'd mention one more, which I think is also quite important, which is the question of actually providing a common terminology, for the purpose of counting, to be able to really say, what are the credentials that need to be counted, that need to be recognized, not just for the sake of counting them so that we know where they go into the Dama figures. But literally, so you can design information systems around, what really matters, what credentials should we be focused on, who is getting what kind of credential where, how are they using it, which one relates to which occupation, which career, which job, what are the pathways that individuals follow through careers and education around these different kinds of credentials. One of the groups we know are very interested in these kind of questions are, in fact, states who are right now really grappling with how to connect up these systems, which they have for education and training, all of which, are currently disconnected. They have a very difficult time really even knowing what's going on in their own state around these things. And we think that the credentials framework can really help those different groups to have a tool that they can use to say to these, all these different actors, hey, let's use this common framework as a way to find a way to translate all of this, as Holly mentioned it, as a translation tool, so that we can figure out where the points of connections of all of these things are. So again, it is very organic. Again, as Holly has said, the outcomes of this, we think, are going to lead us in some unexpected directions when we think about the applicability of this. But a lot of it really does, we think, end up being about connecting these disparate systems, which is why the title we settled on for this document is Connecting Credentials.
Got it. Thanks.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then one. And at this time, there are no questions.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody, for participating in the call. This is Lucia. I will send all of you that did call in today, I'll make sure that you have the website address as well as all of the different co-sponsors. And if you need anything else, please feel free to email me at landerson@luminafoundation.org, or you can always call me at 317-951-5316. Thank you all so much for your participation.